City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing.
It's that time of the week again, unless, of course, you've downloaded it. And it's a Bloke Talk here at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Thank you for tuning into this thing that we call 60 Minutes of Bloke-related chat. And thank you if you have downloaded it. It means a lot. I'm Duncan. Toby's here as well. And last week we had Stephen. This week, because we didn't have Laura last week, this week we still don't have Laura, but we have Roy Basnett, who is the guy who looks after the early morning show here at City Talk 105.9. You well?
Yeah, not too bad. It's nice to be
it's good to
be Laura.
Back.
It's nice to be Laura, you know what I mean?
A lot of people would like to be Laura, I think. So it's good to have you all here, and we're here for the best part of 60 minutes talking about blokey kind of stuff. I noticed there's a smell in here that's only appeared in the last 5 minutes, which smells like cat food, but I can only presume are your crisps. What earth have you got? There. What's all that
about? Good crisps, actually. I'm quite surprised.
Oh, that's
them.
That is that.
And the degree of professionalism required here that you shouldn't be chewing crisps when you're on it.
I
did stop eating them. Before.
Have a whiff of that. Smell that. No, not you. You've been eating them. Give them to Roy to smell. Yeah, that smells like cat food. They're horrible.
Eating them before we went on air. Which is
a very crispy smell about it, really. Yeah,
that's just weird. Anyway, so we're here, and thank you very much for getting involved, and thank you guys for turning up. Of course, New Year is looming large. I want to talk about that because. Anyone got any plans for New Year? Well, we'll talk about that in a second, but because I know Roy being an entertainer.
The way you said that New Year is looming large. That sounds like one of these kind of dance nights that they probably got on in the city centre, haven't they? Looming large.
Looming large.
DJs, you know, Lee Butler and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. The old New Year's resolutions, well, pointless thing anyway, really.
Yeah.
Because you never hold to them. No. I make resolutions throughout the year and fail with them, so I don't see any reason why I should do it.
I'm so glad you said that. Because in a different time, I used to write newspaper columns. And I used to write one about New Year's resolutions because I think the most pointless thing on the planet.
Each year, you just repeat.
No. I think I have a bugbear, and it's similar to Roy's. I think the most pointless thing on the planet, okay, for the simple reason, the mere fact that you decide at that particular point in your life, either the beginning of a brand new year, to maybe change the way you behave, or to try and get rid of a certain habit, or to try and crack down on addiction, the mere fact that you decide to do that at the beginning of a new year, you're automatically setting yourself back because you're putting yourself under a massive amount of pressure.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're surrounding yourself with a load of sanctimonious smug gits who are probably doing it better than you are.
What's the problem with saying to yourself it's a new year and it's a new opportunity?
Well, because everyone's doing it.
So?
Now, I can give you a very good reason why I don't like New Year's resolutions, because one of the most popular ones is that I'm going to get fit in the new year, right? Yeah. And this usually applies to large women folk, right? Now, I have a gymnasium membership, right? Which I go down there. I haven't been using it lately, you know, hence the reason why I'm not my, you know, kind of live, you know, athletic
gazelle-like.
But I intend to go down and they're not too distant. And what will happen is I won't go in January because all of those women who have had gym memberships bought for them over the Christmas will be there conversing on the machine that I want to don't sweat on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right. But I've got a point of order here, and it's this: no man worth his salt would be as stupid as to buy a gym membership for his wife as a present. That sends out a message that is, that's one step away from just going, does my bum look bigger than this, darling? Yes, do you know what? I'm going to buy you a gym membership. They buy it for themselves, but you're right, because all of the glossy magazines, which were written in October, that came out in the first week in January, will have all of this new year.
Yeah.
New you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's true. I know. I used to write them. So it'll be New Year, New You. And there's old Fiona, who's put on about half a stone over the festive period. Yeah. And she's leafing through the magazine, not realising that all of the photos are airbrushed, you know. It's like leafing through. Oh, it's a new year.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for a new me. You know,
well, and you know what? That really annoys me. I mean, because we kind of drift into the dietary area. It's like, so I'm going to go on a diet. So I'm going to start drinking Diet Coke. Hang on a sec. It wasn't Coke that got you fat in the first place. What are you on Diet Coke for?
Yeah. No, you're so right. But there's this pressure, and it all exists. And you're right. You'll be going down the gym. you know, using your rowing machine or whatever, you're going to have to literally, you know, pick it up and wring out the sweat that it's covered in.
Honestly, because you two sound like cynical old men here.
But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You put yourself under so much pressure.
Think if three people get fit from, you know, from their New Year's resolution, brilliant.
The only people who make money, the only people who succeed at the New Year, right, are gyms, because I make a load of money out of people who buy memberships and use it for about 7 days and then give up and go and have a pizza, and magazines. Yeah. Magazines make an absolute bomb in the first couple of weeks of any New Year for the simple reason of either dieting magazines, all right, old Doris is going to get married later that year, so she's buying a stack of wedding magazines, or even worse is the magazines that by March time you don't see on the shelves anymore. All of these hobby magazines. Buy one, get issue 2, 3, and you get the binder at the same time, right? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. The adverts will be on telly by midday on New Year's Day. And all of a sudden you look at these things and you think, do you know, I wasn't really that interested in Roman history, but all of a sudden I quite fancy getting a weekly magazine. And if I get it now, I get issue 2 free of charge. Not only do I get a binder, but I get a model centurion as well. That's exactly what happens. They're the only people who make money out of New Year.
I must confess, we have a load of houseplant magazines in our attic somewhere from exactly that kind of events, as it were. And the thing about collecting magazines, it's always a couple missing. Nobody ever has the complete collection of magazines. Well, I tell you, if I could just come back to the Al Gymnasium thing then as well.
Well, I want to say, do that, because I've just got to write something down here about magazines, because there is something I have
don't
to
forget,
mention.
Don't forget it. But the thing, I've got to say, you know what I don't like about gymnasiums in this day and age is that how commercialised they've become. You know, I mean, I go down there to exercise. I don't go down there because I want to watch, you know, some Cascada video in front of me or something like that, or, you know, some kind of Euro pop on the television screen. Yeah. Give me the old gym that I used to go to, which was not unlike, there was always like, you know, Rocky's manager.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those characters.
Towel around his neck.
Yeah, that's right.
Stopwatch.
Yeah, that's right. And they put, like, you know, put rope around your legs because you're not moving properly. That's the kind of gym that I want.
Get the leeches out if you cut yourself. Yeah.
He's passed out 5 times. Well, he must be doing something bad. You know, that's the kind of gym I want.
Well, what's your main gripe with, like, TV screens and stuff in gyms? I mean, surely that's just improved the facility. And it gives you something to... I mean,
I don't know what to answer this question. That is true. What do you do when you're at a gym if you don't?
What goes through your mind when you're exercising?
Sure. It's the psychology of it. You see, what it is, you've got to have the Rocky soundtrack on you. I mean, and if you go in with an iPod, then you're going to look a bit of a ponce anyway. That is not hard. That you've got to have a good old tape deck on you. You know, one of those
a Walkman. Yeah.
No, I'll predate a Walkman, man. I'm talking the ones where you put the two things. You know, you put the two keys down to look like
an
8-track
cartridge player.
Yeah, something like that. So you've got that
size of a brick.
The Rocky music on, Rocky music on, because the thing about the Rocky music is it will make you achieve far more than you're capable of.
Everyone else can hear it as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you talking Rocky music? Or are you talking bum, 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 bum?
No, not the theme tune. No, it's got to be the train. You know, the training montage. The bit where, like, he's training, but he's not training very well. His wife has a go at him. And he says, you can't win, Rock. And he says, yes, I can.
I can,
That's the music.
That works for you. Yeah. And that's all you need to exercise.
That's all I need. And I am burning rubber when I'm listening to that
tune. It is true that in life that music can be a soundtrack to whatever part. Whatever you're doing, and it can make something be done that much better. It is true. I've got, just at home, because I can't really afford a gym membership at the moment, I bought a cross trainer just because I thought it's going to be cheaper in the long run than going to a gym. It's 3 months gym membership, probably. And I do use it every now and then. Honestly, I've discovered that if you put Oasis Definitely Maybe on, that's better than exercising to anything else. If I say to myself, right, I'm going to do half an hour, I'll just, you know...
I go an extra mile
in half an hour.
Oh, music makes a difference.
Absolutely does make a difference in life in so many ways. And so you're right. I think maybe Rocky, I should try it.
Oh, get it, man.
See how much further I
go. Why do you think it makes you... exercise more when it's Oasis?
I think it's just it's upbeat, it's a bit Rocky, and obviously it's got to be Definitely Maybe as well. None of their later albums, because they start being a bit more poppy at that point.
Well, they're rubbish. So aren't it's they, a after bit. A while.
No, they're not rubbish.
Well, they are. Let's be honest. What went wrong after What's the Story? Morning Glory.
I'm a big Oasis fan.
Went rubbish after
big Oasis fan.
The sink is full of dishes. She's got. Oh no, don't get me all that. I think you're losing it. I think you're just buying into this Oasis myth. To be the only good thing about Oasis is probably the one up in Penrith. You know, the holiday camp. I don't like Oasis. No, I'm sorry. very old.
There's a gym near Emperor's me down south music. Called Oasis.
Yeah.
You see what we've done there? We've gone full circle.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Marvellous.
You're right, though, with the music. I'll tell you why, because I read this fascinating article. You know these guys who pilot helicopter gunships and go and blow up civilians, thinking that they're armed forces? They have rock music pumping through their headphones and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
music. And it's always the same, you know, it's rock. It's kind of like sometimes, well, rap. Rap would make you want to shoot anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that kind of...
Rap would make me want to shoot myself, though.
It's that slightly kind of aggressive stuff. And I always, I used to work, years and years ago, before I did anything in radio, I used to work in the car trade. It's a little known fact. I'm not talking about my car trade. Yeah,
wow.
I can talk about my glasses guide and all of that, you know, and the car trade. And I have to say, I was not a salesman. And there's a reason why I'm saying that, because I think there's a particular kind of person who likes selling cars.
You have to give this one up here now. What exactly was your involvement in the motor trade then?
Well, I used to design adverts and things.
Did you?
Yeah.
As in, like, adverts for the local car shop or for the motor?
Well, no, not for the motor. No, this is dreadfully dull. It was a car company, and you could lease any kind of car.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you do is you'd want to go, big organisations now. For example, let's say it's I don't know. For argument's sake, let's say it's British Gas.
Hmm.
Okay. British Gas give cars to lots of their people. Hmm. Well, they'll have two sides to it. They'll have the vans that will drive around and go out and fix stuff. That's one side. That's the fleet side of it. And the other side, they'll have various managers and supervisors who get a car. None of those cars are owned by British Gas. They lease them.
All right.
From a big company. And it would be the kind of company I was working for at the time who British Gas would come to and go, do us a deal, lease us the vehicles.
You've got to sell that lease.
Yeah.
Right.
So we would sell the services. And then what happens is after 3 years, because most cars are on a 3-year lease, they come back and then you sell the cars to members of the public. Mm. So I was involved in all of that, the advertising and stuff like that.
Ah, right.
The point I was going to make was I worked with a guy who was used to go out and try and get really big deals from local authorities. So, for example, I don't know, Wirral Council or whatever. You know, all their gritters and their minibuses and stuff and vans that the park wardens might drive around in. Don't own any of them. They're leased.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be a local authority tender that you would kind of like apply for and stuff like this. And what he would do is his job was to apply for these things. And he was really successful at it. He was really good going along and doing presentations and getting the deal. And you know, there's a lot of money to be made out of this.
Mm.
And he used to have this routine on his way to a meeting. And when he used to drive there, he used to have the same CD on in his car because it would get him in the right frame of mind to make the deal, to do the presentation and get it signed on the dotted line.
And it
used to be Nevermind the by the Sex Pistols.
Oh, right.
And it used to work for him because, I mean, if you know anything about music, Sex Pistols, one of the greatest punk bands in the world ever.
Correct.
The whole album is full of kind of like spite and attitude and venom and stuff. And he used to say, to the point that he used to say, and his name was Simon, if I went to a meeting and I didn't have my Sex Pistols CD playing, I wouldn't get the deal. It was that important to him. And he used to get so psyched up. He used to go in there, I'm not walking out of there until they signed on the dotted line.
Mm.
So music can work. It doesn't matter if you're down the gym.
Sorry, mate. Your mate there who was obviously pumping himself up, he's got the Sex Pistols going out there because he was a Pistols fan.
Yeah.
I wonder how he feels about the fact that Johnny Rotten advertises butter now.
Have you seen that? Isn't that wrong? Doesn't
that is so on punk.
That is the generation has just died, isn't it?
Yeah, all these people who are going to auditoriums and ripping up the seats and everything, saying great punk. Yeah. And I wonder if they're all like, pass the butter, please. You know, I don't know.
Well, you see, the thing is, I wonder why. You know, let's say punk was what, 78, 77, 78.
Thereabouts, yeah.
Okay, so we're 30 years on now.
Blimey.
Okay, so if you were 17 and a punk, you'll be 47 now. You're probably actually kind of interested in butter.
Yeah, but you'd be moved on.
Say, do you not think
you'd want the low cholesterol stuff in your
phone? Yeah, you'd be going, what's it going to do for me, ticker?
And they see Johnny Rotten and they've grown up with him in the same way that he's now interested enough in butter that he's prepared to accept their millions. And
what you've got to look at, Toby, is you wouldn't have been there at the time because I witnessed the scene. I pogoed, right? You know what I'm saying? And at the time, butter was advertised by Terry Wogan.
Yeah.
He was telling everybody that Florida was the margarine for men and stuff like that and what have you. And that was resented. And all of a sudden, the punk people have been flogged this buttered idea now. Yeah. By Johnny Rotten.
It'll be there.
That's the age group that they're going for.
Give it 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And Liam Gallagher will be there. He'll be popping up with his butter knife.
Ovaltine.
Waving it around.
Probably 95% of those 17-year-olds are not particularly punks anymore, but they still think of themselves when they see Johnny Rotten going there. They think,
do you know what gets me? What really gets me about music is, you know, when you get these musos who are really into it like that. Oh, Oasis, they've sold out. Oh, yeah. Not because they decided to take a record contract and make a load of money. Oh, no, they sold out. They were better when they were making no money, working above, you know, in the function room in the Dog and Darton. I hate those musos who said they sold out.
Hate that. Oh, pretentiousness. Listen, we'll come back in a few moments' time. It is Bloke Talk, and you're listening to it on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks, City Talk 105.9.
I'm Duncan, Toby's here, and Roy's here as well, and it is Bloke Talk. Thank you very much for tuning in, or indeed downloading it. We were just talking, actually, I shouldn't say this because it's terribly unprofessional, but whilst we weren't here, but you were still listening, that we were talking about crisps, and actually, I think crisps is a very good point, because I wanted to talk about this earlier, and then I forgot, and my mind went for a wander. You see, your crisp smell, okay?
Yes.
And what do you got there? You got lamb and mint.
Lamb and mint, okay. Winter Warmer, limited edition.
And you see, and there's a certain brand there, and we mentioned the one, so we won't mention them again. And Roy was saying that he prefers the smoother crisp, you know, by a very well-known company. I think the market leader. Yeah. And I know a couple of months ago, they had this little thing. They're asking people to suggest crisp combinations. Have you seen that? Competition?
They're
basically going,
give us a flavour,
suggest a crisp combination, and if we like it, one, we'll give you some money, and two, your crisp will actually go into production. And because I'm bored and I don't have much going on in my life, and I'm quite a big consumer of crisps, but the thing is, I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah.
Because everything's been done. You actually think about it, most crisp combinations, they even had cheese and Marmite out a while ago.
Did they have cheese? Have they had cheese and pickle?
Yeah, that's been done.
Do you remember the one years ago, the hedgehog one?
That was a myth, wasn't it?
What?
Was it? I don't know. I thought it was. I bought into it hook, line and sinker.
I thought there was a company called Hedgehog who made crisps.
Right.
I never thought there was a hedgehog flavour.
Yeah.
Though I could be wrong.
Oh, right.
If anyone knows, do let us know.
It's worthwhile getting on Google.
What about in Williamson Square? They've got like kangaroo burgers and stuff.
I noticed that.
Maybe we need
the
like kangaroo burger crisps.
Yeah. It's really difficult to get hold of, aren't they? Because he keeps. Anyway,
it's I just don't know what's left. I don't know what other combinations are left. There isn't anything because you've got to have one with the other, haven't you? Really? Yeah. Cheese and onion?
No, you've got to stick with the traditional smoky bacon, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a proper man's brand, man's flavour of crisps.
Yeah.
Stick with the traditionals. None of this kind of hoity-toity stuff of bringing in the new stuff.
And you made the point also during the break.
You wouldn't fancy some of these lamb and mint?
No, I don't like... I'm all right with lamb, you know, the El Kebab, but it's the mint thing. Don't like mint.
Yeah.
No, not mint sauce and all that. Not for me.
But you were making the point during the break that when you start going down the route of kind of like low-fat crisps or Weight Watchers crisps or whatever, it just goes wrong. It just goes so wrong. There is an argument to be had that you kind of all of these so-called low-salt, low-fat, low-carbs food, why bother? Because actually they don't taste of anything whatsoever. Mm. So it's almost like a placebo, isn't it? In so much as people are thinking, oh, well, it must be good for me. Actually, you think about what you're eating. Can you taste it? The answer is no.
Well, and the other thing is what gets me is you can buy these little pre-cooked meals, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, lose weight with these pre-cooked meals. Yeah. And look, they're only a third of the calories that you have. Might have something to do with the fact that they're a third of the size of the meal that you'd normally have as well, really. So I think you've got to take that into account.
And, of course, they're only a third of the calories as well because you actually only eat a third.
That's
it's
right.
It's just
disgusting.
Cardboard.
And they're usually twice the price of the meal that you had in the first place.
I've just had a very important piece of paper handed to me.
All right, it's like Neville Chamberlain.
Yes, I have in my hand a piece of paper. It means nothing. We're about to be invaded. This is because obviously we have a production team of at least 12 working on this show.
Yeah,
and apparently hedgehog flavored crisps were actually flavored with pork fat.
All right.
You see, last week on Bloke Talk, and Roy, you weren't here. We learnt about a Bristol expression.
Did we?
Gert Lush Mint.
Gert Lush Mint.
Which is the highest form of praise someone from Bristol can give someone.
I remember that.
Okay. And I'm good, aren't I? And this week, we've learned hedgehog-flavoured crisps were flavoured with pork fat. Mm.
How was that actually worded, the Bristol term? Because, I mean, it doesn't work in the kind of, you know, the dialect we're using it. I think, Lush Mint. It's kind of have a West Country accent.
We spent a good chunk of time working out in which kind of situation could you use the term Gert Lush Mint. And if I was to say to you, as I do frequently, because I think you're a very fine broadcaster and performer, I went, your show last night, mate, Gert Lush Mint.
Yeah.
be the one of the highest the forms highest of praise form I could
see, to be honest with you.
It would only carry value, though, really, if I came from Bristol. Yeah.
See, if somebody said to me, said, Roy, your show last night, Gertsch, Lush, Mint, I'd say, no, he wasn't on with me, but his exhibition was talked about on the Dean Sullivan show. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all of this arty stuff, I just can't work it out. Now, people say that art, you know, one person's art is another person's rubbish and all of this, and, you know, it's very kind of, like, subjective. No, it's not. Yeah. Let's be honest. It is not.
No.
There are certain things that you can get away with saying are art, okay? Mm. You know, you can have a lump of clay and someone can mould it into something. You can go, yeah, I can kind of see that. That's art. You know, someone has used some paint on a picture somewhere. Even though it's abstract, you can go, yeah, I can kind of see it. It's art. But some of the people, and I think it's a multi-billion pound industry.
Yes.
And I think they're all part of the conspiracy. They're all in there. They won't actually, you know, they will never go on the record and go, I don't understand what that means. They go, yeah.
It's the Emperor's clothing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I can see that. Yeah. Oh. And they're all part of it. All part of it. Every single one of them, you see. And they all feed off
it
as well.
There's like a club. Do you need like a club?
There is a club.
To get in or
yeah.
something like that.
There is this club that all exists. And they all pretend that, you know, a load of Tic Tacs in a pile on a desk somewhere is in fact significant and it symbolises, you know, the plight of fishermen in Hungary. So
the Turner Prize. That's what the Turner
My
Prize.
My favourites are the ones that turn up and they go, I'll leave it to you to decide what I meant by that.
You don't want to do
it's
that.
It's the greatest con in the world ever, isn't it? I mean, it's like if a mechanic said to you, oh, I'll leave it for you to decide whether or not I fixed your car. You go, well, I just written you a cheque for 180 quid. What are you talking about? But if you call yourself an artist, because, of course, anyone can call themselves an artist now.
Yeah.
You
we're
know,
all artists.
Yeah, everyone's an artist.
Everyone's got an artist.
A lot of people refer to me as an artist, but I won't go into which particular category they refer to.
I know exactly what kind of category we fall into. And they all close ranks, because if you dare to question the art club, you know, which exists, if you dare to question it, that's it, they all kick
How
off.
How do you get to join the art club, do you think?
I have absolutely no idea.
Do you just get to just suddenly go into your mind? Do you think they genuinely believe it, or do you think that they're thinking, we can rake in some more money?
I have a theory. You have to be somewhere where art is actually taking place, or so-called art. So, you know, you could be having a coffee in the Tate Gallery down at the Albert Dock. You could be sitting there in the caf at the blue coat, yeah? You could be there, and they'll just come up behind you, just a little tap on the shoulder, and that'll be it. That'll be the sign that you're in.
Do you think, well,
you only get booted out if you don't play the game.
Well, no, here's what you do, Toby. I'm thinking about this because I'm formulating a plan now to actually win that Turner Prize, which is worth it. It's worth about 20 grand, isn't
it? It's worth having.
All you have to, the starting point has to be you go to some pretentious art exhibition in a cravat, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you do. If you just walk in there like that, just start umming and ahhing and you're in.
I'll tell you what, we need to create here the actual, and people will say this is a stereotype, but mark my words, these people exist because they happen and they're all over the place. You're right. Cravat. Yeah. You also need a pair of glasses that, one, don't suit you, and two, are really oversized.
Yeah.
So kind of think, what's that mineral water advert that's been on the telly with Brains from Thunderbirds?
Oh, yes.
Is it Drench or something like that?
Yes,
you need Brains' glasses, all right? You need them in place with your cravat.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what else do you need? You probably need a pinstripe jacket.
Yeah, with a pair of ripped jeans.
Yes, exactly. Seen better days with ripped jeans.
I was thinking of sort of those oversized sort of tweedy kind of jeans.
And probably be worthwhile actually wearing those clothes for a few days before you go to it, just to have a little bit of a smell, because they'll think then, oh, this guy doesn't, he's not interested in clothes, he's interested in
art.
He doesn't have time to get a wash.
Yeah. Surely you need some sort of hat.
Well, we'll get to the hat in a second. Footwear, incredibly important. Totally random footwear. I'm thinking Wellington boots.
Yeah.
Okay, no relevance whatsoever, but it's art.
Yeah.
Do you think that almost the creation of the look is also part of the art?
Absolutely. Well, they have a little handbook. When you're part of the club, okay, what happens is you get the handbook, it gets delivered. You know, you get the tap, all right, when you're in the blue coat having a meal, and then when you leave, someone hands you this document in a plain envelope, and that's your handbook about how to dress like an artist. Slightly tattered.
What also might be an additional little accessory there is copy the Morning Star, because I mean, they're always lefties, aren't they? You know, artists usually are. You never get any right wing.
Name me one right wing artist or sculpture. The answer is you can't do it.
Can't do it. Yeah. The thing is,
all the right wingers have jobs.
Yeah. No, but what it is, they want to represent the working class, and they're so far removed from the working class in the first place with their thumb and their cravat on and all that. Forget it. What a joke.
It was not the Morning Star, it'd be the Guardian.
yeah,
with a crossword exposed.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't have done it. They would have just written down a few words, like their names in the boxes.
And you've managed to get Titian. You know what I mean? You've got nothing else in there. That'll be it.
Hat is interesting. Now, where do we go with the hat?
Well...
No, but I would say what you could do is... This is the way... Because it's always thinking, you see, is you get a cloth cap, which is symbolic of northern working life.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But you put it on the other
backwards,
way around.
Like it, yeah.
And slightly tipped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or a fez. A fez. Just to show you tapped into a different culture outside of maybe Yorkshire or northwest England. A fez. Well, you don't have to go anywhere near Cairo.
I've got a fez. And you know, I got it because we went years and years ago when I went on holiday with the lads. We went on a day trip to Bodrum in Turkey. And our priorities, we're going to have to look the part. We need to get a fez when we get there. Yeah. Despite the fact that no one's worn a fez in Turkey since 1948. But, I mean, we still had one anyway. Fezed up we were.
Did you have fezes?
Yeah, bright. I got a bright Tommy just like that.
Did you go all the way? Did you have a dish dash?
I think you might have to elaborate on that one.
You didn't purchase a dish dash.
What is a dish dash?
You know what a dish dash is. I can't even say it. When I went to Turkey, I went to a what do you call them? Tailors.
Yeah.
By accident to buy because it's very
hot. How can you go to a tailors by accident?
Well, because I thought I could go in there and buy a normal shirt, and I ended up buying a dish dash.
Yeah.
Because I can't say no to small Turkish men who want to sell me things.
I do hope you at least bartered with him briefly.
Oh, he gave me some tea.
Yeah,
and I thought he was quite nice. He was a small fellow, and he's, you know, anyway. Dish dash is like, how do I describe it? It's like an all-in-one linen robe.
Oh, like this, what they do, the sand dancing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Dish dash.
Oh, I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yeah, cut a dash in a dish dash.
Oh, I'd have a dish dash. Yeah. Well, I'll know for next time.
Do you still wear it?
Oh, it's in the wardrobe somewhere.
You should bring it in.
There's not really many occasions where you can whip it.
Where could you wear a dish dash?
You can't go down Wetherspoons.
You could wear a dish dash.
You should be walking up Bold Street. But, you know, walking down Bold Street in your dish dash.
Yeah, with your fez on.
Maybe you should wear it next time you're having a meal at the Blue Coat.
I could do, well, I might make it in the club.
You might get the tap.
How do we get onto art?
I don't know.
I don't know.
More concerned how we got onto fezes. No, it's a long, long time since he actually went to Turkey, to be honest with you. And it demonstrated clearly my kind of knowledge of culture of that land, that my priority function was not to go and see some of the fine, statues and things over there, but to actually get a fez and find a bar.
But you do different things, don't you? Different stages in your life. If you went back to Turkey now, you might have a slightly different view and you might want to achieve something
You'd
else.
You'd still take your fez, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'd get it signed by some random Turk just to show that I'd got it from
I love Turkey. Turkey's great. I've told my Turkey story on this show a number of times because it involves going to a Turkish barber.
Yeah. I've been to one where they cutthroat and all that.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah,
and they do a good job.
Yeah. They all learn it in the services. And this is what I learned, because this guy spoke reasonable English, is that when you leave the Turkish army, and I'm guessing it's the same for the Air Force and possibly the Navy as well, but they will give you a trade to leave with, a trade you can actually use. You know, not sort of like, you know, something sort of like, oh, I can weld a certain kind of exhaust pipe somewhere.
Yeah.
We're talking stuff. So that's why you'll find pretty much any Turkish barber you go to, chances are he's ex-services. And they all learn how to cut hair and stuff like that, and they can do little massages.
That's exactly what happened to me. Yeah. So I remember going in and they said, oh, I want to have a shave here. And I thought, God almighty. Because, I mean, this wasn't the kind of thing that you'd see David Beckham shaving with.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a proper kind of something out of Friday the 3rd. But my God, closest shave I've ever had. I'm feeling very relaxed after my head massage after it.
Did they do the nose hair thing with a flame? Apparently they didn't.
Oh, I don't know about that.
This is what happened to me. I went to this place because we went to Turkey, and we went to this kind of slightly rural place, which is good. But, you know, you kind of like have to rough it a little bit. And me and my mate Sammy, we went with our various wives, but they went off and did something. So we went out a long lunch somewhere, had a couple of bottles of Lal, which is a local wine, L-A-L. And we thought, we're going to have a Turkish shave. Yeah. And working on the basis that, you know, if it's going to go wrong. I'm a great believer. If you're going to have an accident or have pain, you might as well be
I'm just wondering, actually, you know, all this kind of what we were talking about of living healthy before and low-fat meals and stuff like that. If Lal is the drink over there, because you can get, like, you know, healthy drink options, and it was, like, low in carbohydrates, would you call it lousy?
Very good. So went along, and exactly as you just described, big blade came out, had the lovely shave, the closest shave I've ever had in my life. Nothing grew back for 4 days. And they light a taper to get rid of your ear hair and nose hair.
Oh, wow.
They wave it under the nose and across the ears, and the hair just burns away.
Really?
It's the way forward.
Well, this is something. I'd like to see that kind of.
There is somewhere here in Liverpool, and Toby and I have talked about this. I did say before the end of the year, it's not going to happen now. You realise that? You and I will go and have a proper.
I knew the a proper.
We will do it. We will do it. I promise you, we'll do it sometime in 2009.
Is that an unusual shop in Liverpool? And did you know that there's a shop that there's a tobacconist in Liverpool where the only place in the country, one of the only places in the country where you can actually smoke in.
Yes, doors. And that's Fenwick Street,
opposite the
slaughterhouse. Yeah, very good. It is Bloke Talk, and it's blokes talking about stuff. Roy's here, Toby's here, and I'm Duncan. Just a reminder, Bloke Talk, if you want to contact us, there is a page on Facebook. It's called the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. You could write on the wall and online graffiti. And Toby or the Laura will feed that back.
I just wonder, you must have spoken about Facebook.
Well, we'll come back and we'll talk about Facebook in a second.
Yeah.
And emails can come into Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N, Duncan at citytalk.fm. It's Bloke Talk, and it's here on The Voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.
This is a man's world.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing.
I'm Duncan, Toby's here, Roy's here as well. It's the final chunk of Bloke Talk, and thank you very much for tuning in. Hope you're enjoying what you hear, either on the radio or indeed through your downloadable little object, white box thing. We were talking about Facebook, weren't we, talking of technology. Are you on Facebook? Have you ever been on Facebook?
I'm a Facebooker.
You're a Facebooker?
Big time. So, when you just mentioned that, reminded me, when you were talking about the group. You know, because we have a group.
Are you a member of the group?
Yes, I am indeed a member. I get that dreadful kebab picture sent to me every time a message comes along. But the what I tend to do is I say to people, look, you know, we've got a group for the Roy Best.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a good opportunity for me to plug it.
It works.
There. And they always have a tendency to become my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a bit of a problem, really. Mm. And because I mean, it's like I have all these like women that kind of I don't know, and it's strange women on there as well, actually.
Yeah,
and of course, you know, with the best will in the world, you leave your laptop open, and your other half says, who's Julie? All that kind of stuff.
Do you know what? I'm so glad you said this because I have a story to tell, and it's the reason why I came off Facebook. But it does work, doesn't it? It's a fascinating thing, but it's so open to abuse, isn't it?
Yeah,
you see, you've made the mistake that I believe Laura has made, which I refuse to, and that is befriending people that you don't know.
Oh, I befriend everybody.
See, so does Laura.
Well, particularly if you use it for your radio show, because you don't know who these people are, so you've got to go.
Create a radio show.
Because if I denied him, they'd be all like, oh, what about that Roy Bassner, the anti-socialist?
Who does he think he is?
Well, then you need to create your Facebook, as in, you know, your City Talk Roy Basnett Facebook page, and then your personal one.
Well,
and
they're
entirely
that may be worthwhile. One of the computers are a big problem. The internet generally is a big problem. But I'll tell you why. Not so much Facebook. That's not too much of an offender. The biggest offender on your computer, if you go on the internet, is your history, right?
Mm.
Especially if you're Googling. Now, I can assure you, and this is absolutely true, this completely benign, and a few weeks back, we decided that we wanted to do a bit of a show in the sex industry, you know, with escorts and things like that.
I've been there. Yeah.
Have you? Which one did you go to?
I'll tell you. The filter and the internet police of this radio
station
would let me go into half of the websites.
But I did it at home, didn't I? And of course, like, you know, the wife decides to go onto Google, and Google offers suggestions if you type the first two letters in.
Yeah. How do you take that off?
Well, it says clear history on it. Now that after large, mature woman escort came up, the wife was looking through, he said, right, what have you been up to?
Yeah.
I said, research purposes only. It's such a poor excuse, but it's a genuine
one. I know. How do you get rid of that thing on Google that brings up stuff you've been looking at? I'll tell you why. Because I've got a laptop at home, right? And a while ago, I was trying to put together, and this is so true, mind you, the more times we repeat this as a defence, it might get watered down. I wanted to do something about, not the sex industry, but I wanted to do something about fetish.
Yeah.
Okay. On the producer looks over on the mid-morning show, and I wanted to explore the whole area and stuff. Mm. And the only way I could do it was to obviously, you know, I mean, you don't get these people in the phone book. You know, you can't look up dungeon and get a phone number. So I was using an internet search engine. I was typing in "we're all fetish" and stuff like that, and I came across two people, and I phoned them up, and they wouldn't come on the radio. You know, everything. I said, well, you can use a different.
We're a little tied up at the moment.
All of that. You know, it was worse. I discovered some stuff that I thought, God, people pay 200 quid for that. come to my shed and I'll do that for you. But I looked at all of this stuff and I phoned up these people and they said, look, there's no way we do it. We have clients, there's confidentiality, there are, you know, and all this. It's fine. So it ended. But I'm still stuck now. Every time I go to Google and I type in WI, We're All Fetish comes up, We're All Dungeon comes up, and I don't know how to get rid of it. So how do I get rid of it?
If you go, there's a little thing and it says clear history on it. On the drop down. If you look on the, you know, when you, if you go, I mean, on the one that I've got.
On the Google screen?
Not on the Google screen. I don't know on the Google screen, but if you've got like a little toolbar.
There's an internet options.
Yeah.
Bit. You click clear on internet history. Options and it's clear history.
Is it really that easy?
I'm about to say, do you not think that, you know, a blank thing that comes up that shows that you've not ever searched for anything ever
is more
at
incriminating.
All, is more incriminating. Yeah. Well, somebody looks at that and they immediately think, he's been looking at porn.
Yeah, but if you know, they might speculate, but then there's no hard and fast evidence. The thing is, you know, if Roy's missus comes along and sees something like, you know, escort agency or fat escorts or whatever you want, you're going to have to come up with an explanation, aren't you?
She listens to your show, she hears that you're doing it, and that's that.
Yeah, but when she listens, though, I'm normally doing something like, you know, tonight we're talking about chess. And so I'm not buying into that research.
You save all the dodgy stuff to 4 in the morning, don't you?
Yeah.
No, I think it's a fair point. But you see, I think the internet, I mean, the pros far outweigh the cons, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's great.
Totally.
You know, I think, I mean, it's that kind of...
Only you
know,
because you're lazy presenters just need to use
that at all.
It does make you wonder, from a preparation point of view from the show, how people actually manage pre-internet.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really is incredible.
They used to read art magazines.
There used to be a lot more artists interviewed on the radio before the internet came along.
But it is. I mean, I certainly am. It's one of these things where a piece of technology comes along, you get it, and then before you know it, it's a part of you. You can't do without it, like mobile phones and things like that.
Yeah. Do you think it'll ever reach a kind of... Because I think it's still building, you know. I mean, even I know, and you all know this, Roy, is, you know, when you kind of like have children you're responsible for, that now, you know, the internet is very much part of school life, you know, everything's online and stuff like that. Do you think it'll ever actually burst, or is it here forever?
Here forever, and it will get worse, and it will permeate further into life. And you know what, the first thing that people will talk about is, oh yeah, the internet's a terrible place because it's full of pornography, and unfortunately the pornography is a necessary part of it, because that is what's driving the technology forward. That's what makes the money, and that's where the money to invest in it.
You're right.
So because it is a very small percentage of it is actually there for, if you like, research purposes. But one other thing, you talk about technology moving forward, we were talking on the show a couple of weeks back about that within 100 years time, men, women will have marital status with robots.
Yeah.
What?
Marital status.
Yeah.
They will get married.
Yeah.
To robots.
Yeah.
And people, a lot of people.
How advanced are robots already then?
Have you, go back to the internet and have a look. There's a guy called Hanson, I think he is, runs Hanson Robotics over in the States. My God, this fella, he's not got the actual movement, he's got the facial. And he's got robots that look real. Yeah. And already over in Japan, goes without saying, it has to be Japan, they've got robots that can run, that can jump, that can ride bikes.
Yeah.
So if you couple those two technologies together, I find that
it is amazing.
Do they have any sort of intelligence yet?
Well, yeah, but they'll develop it. You can get things that will think for themselves now. Yeah. And if you look at the technology of now and how it's developed in the last 20 years, for example, you multiply that 100 years in the future, it's undoubtedly
I'd quite happily marry a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as long as you can switch them off, I think that'd be a great thing. I'm not going to say the more intelligent partner, because that wouldn't necessarily be the case. But if you are able to actually ultimately control the robot, I think that's a great
thing. Surely the human race dies out though.
Well, it possibly. You know, the thing
we
is,
we make
is
more robots, don't you?
Yeah, mate. Well, then the robots ultimately will make the robots, and then the robots kill the human race. That's usually how it falls into place in a science fiction movie. But one of the things is, you know, like terminology that men might use these days in the future will have a completely different meaning. Like, you know, 100 years down the line, are you out tonight? No, I've got to give the wife a service.
Yeah.
Meaning that I've got to get some electrical contact cleaner and clean all the things on it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what it'll mean in the future.
I wonder what bloke talk will be like when. When
it'll
the humans have all died out.
And what are you doing, Toby, today?
I like robots.
Bot talk.
And I'm glad you brought up robots, because I was reading a thing a while ago, and again about Japan, that someone's created this robot that picks up your tone of... It listens to your tone of voice, and that dictates how that robot's going to behave. So, for example, if you're talking like this and you sound really upbeat and you're fun and you're happy, then the robot picks up on it, and then therefore its behaviour mirrors you, and it's kind of like the robot's really happy. But if you're like, kind of like, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, the robot's really down, I think that's amazing. I think it's absolutely superb. I think people are scared of technology as well. I think we should embrace it.
Yeah, I agree. I
want to marry a robot.
I'm very much for embracing technology. I always remember when my mum first got sat nav. Yeah. And she'd still take a map along and try and read the map and stuff. And I was like, you've got to trust. There's no point having it if you're not going to trust it.
Yeah.
But the problem is, every now and then, things go wrong, don't they? And can you imagine if one robot does go wrong? You marry your robot and it goes wrong.
Yeah.
You probably end up exploding and, you know...
Yeah, we get another one, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but what if you're in a compromising position when your robot explodes? Then you could be in a lot of trouble. But I've got a feeling it won't come to that. And it is... I buy into it 100%. And if you look at... Do research on this and look at the lifelike way these things look, it's absolutely unbelievable, not inconceivable that it is going to be the case, the norm in the future. Certainly with 100 years, you'll have them for servant purposes. Yeah. And as I say, you will have certainly, well, you think about it, the most obvious thing, and I'm sorry to be kind of back to the sex angle of this. If you have men of a certain kind that are paying for dolls, if you like, imagine what it's going to be like in the future when you've got this virtual woman. God, blimey, the industry's going to be huge for those people, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be like that film. Is it artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I saw a film earlier this year which had robots in it, and that was WALL-E.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
I've not seen it.
Oh, it's brilliant. Adverts. That's a fantastic film.
Mm.
It's great. Yeah. I thought it was aimed at children, but there's this really, really great adult message in it. Yeah. It's one of those great movies.
There's so many of those films.
That works on two levels, you know, because you take children along and they get quite excited because there's little WALL-E and he's a nice little robot and he falls in love with this kind of white robot woman thing, except it's a robot and all of that jazz. And but the whole thing is that basically WALL-E is this one kind of robot that's there to clean up Earth because the human race has made such a mess of it.
Right.
So the human race are now buzzing around Earth as a planet on a spaceship, but they're also fat and obese. They're on little kind of like hovering things. It's a really, really good film, and I urge anyone to go and see it.
This kind of Disney Pixar stuff, I really, really enjoy them kind of movies. And you're right that they operate on two levels, because somebody identified a while back that in order to, you know, for kids to go and watch the films that they make, they need to go with the parents. And if the parents are going to take them on a regular basis, the parents need to enjoy it as well. So that's why you get those little subtle innuendos in them.
We're a few days away from New Year's Eve, and I'm of the kind of persuasion that I've reached the point where my idea of New Year's Eve is very simple and quite boring. You got anything planned, Tobe?
I'm going to a big party.
Are you going to a big party? Is there a party here in the mighty city of Liverpool?
No, it's not.
Ah, where is it?
I will be back down south with my southern group of friends.
Yeah. Are you going out to get drunk party?
Probably be
what does this mean? You're
going to
be like a cheese and wine night, playing Trivial Pursuit, something like that.
Nice glass of Aqua Libra. Sort of,
it's a good friend of mine, cousin, who happens to be fairly well off and has a very nice new pad, I believe. I've not actually been to it.
So you won't need to bring a bottle and he'll supply all that.
I've got a feeling that
you're going
there
with
might
pee-pee?
Be sort of butlers and that sort of thing. Yeah. And we're talking
with
that
pee-pee?
Sort of...
You're going with pee-pee?
Don't think I'll be going with pee-pee, no. She'll be working around that sort
of thing. What are you up to, Basnet?
We have decided to use our house as the destination for our friends to come this year to celebrate New Year's Eve. I mean, previous New Year's Eves, I've always worked, you know, in the old industry that I was in. Consequently, this year we decided...
So is this your first one off for a while?
Yeah, definitely. That's good. For quite a number of years.
Yeah.
And,
so you won't be watching people getting drunk and embarrassing themselves. You'll be doing it.
I'll be participating. Oh, don't get me wrong. I always got drunk when I worked on New Year's Eve. You know, I always made sure I either stayed over or got a driver. But it's going to be nice to be in that situation. And I go really over the top in the house. I'll be like, right, let's get a load of disco lights.
Do you love New Year's Eve?
Oh, I love it. I love Christmas. I love everything. All about the festive period.
I always think New Year's Eve is a massive anti-climax.
Yeah.
The better you're expecting the night to be, the worse it ends up being.
It's okay in the house. It's when you go to pub and people are putting your arm around you. You haven't spoken for years, going, you're not right, you, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Let's bury the hatchet, because they usually bury the hatchet in your head normally. Yeah. But then the old friendly, false friendliness on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm kind of quite funny about it, because I've done New Year's Eve in Edinburgh a couple of times.
I would imagine that was good.
That was good, because you get lots of snogs off Scottish ladies.
Yeah.
A lot of them are quite attractive as well. So it's really nice. And they do, they randomly just come up to you in the street and they just like drag you into a doorway and snog you.
Really?
It's good, like that, and people will open their doors quite literally. And I've had this a couple of times when I've been in Edinburgh, and they go, you'll walk by and they go, come in for a drink. And you think, what's the catch? And you're looking around for an axe, and there is no axe, and you have a little tipple. It's great.
Yeah.
I've done that, and I've done it in various other places in the world, but I get bored of it now. I just resent. And I know it's an opportunity for the pub and club industry to make money, and I know at the moment a lot of pubs are suffering. But why all of a sudden should I have to pay £15 to go into a pub that I don't normally...
The bucket on the way.
You know,
yeah.
That I normally have to pay to get into, to eat some rubbish food, to drink some drinks that all of a sudden are ratcheted up just because it's New Year's Eve. Mm. I resent that.
Yeah.
I'm fed up
well,
of
you've got to do the home thing then, haven't you? You've got to do the home thing.
Do you know what I did last year?
With friends or
last year, I bought two bottles of wine, okay, because I'm trying to watch the old beer because it puts the gut on it and makes the gut even bigger. Mm. I had two bottles of wine, nice bottles of wine. I opened one and I drank it by about, I don't know, 10 to 10. I opened the other one, I thought, lovely. 10 past 11, there I was, prostate on the sofa.
Missed the
woke up 10 to 1. Jules Holland still on the box, tinkling away on his ivories. Mrs. had gone to bed. That was it. I hauled my sorry backside up the stairs, went to bed. That was it. I just can't get excited about it.
Did you wake up the next morning and think, I quite enjoyed that, actually?
I'll tell you what I love doing. I turn my mobile phone off. Okay, because it, depending on where you are and where all your mates are and stuff, you'll either get these, the so-called highly amusing texts sent by people who have spent all day drinking when you've only just started. So I turn my phone off, and I love doing it now. I turn it off by 6 in the evening on New Year's Eve. I turn it on about midday on New Year's Day, and I just love to, like, because the phone just goes into overdrive. It's like, beep, 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 beep. It's fantastic, and you get all of these messages in drunken states.
Or the best M8.
Yeah.
That's it, all that kind of stuff, isn't it?
You know, or you get the obvious one, I thought I'd get in early before the system was overloaded. I thought I'd send you one at 10 to 5 on New Year's Eve afternoon. And it's just like, you can't be bothered, go away. You know, you get all of that, you know, or you kind of like, someone will send around the picture. You know, oh, we're just getting ready to go out and there's a fancy dress party and we've dressed up as a tulip. It's like, I don't want to see a picture of you as a tulip. Go away. So I'm afraid it's going to be actually, I'm working. I'm going to be on the radio, 9 o'clock New Year's Day morning.
Oh, you're joking.
On this radio station.
Oh,
you know,
dear.
All of that week, which will be next week, I'm doing the breakfast show with,
What's her name?
Kim.
Yeah, that's it.
So I managed to escape on New Year's Day morning because I won't have to get out of bed at like 4:30. It'll be 7:30 instead.
Do you particularly enjoy working with Kim?
Yeah, I love Kim. Kim's great.
So is Phil Easton off for the week then, is he?
Phil's not around, no.
There's some advantage in being with this organisation for a few years. You can pull that card, isn't it?
He's off for a week, having a bit of a service. You know what they do? They lubricate all the joints and they kind of change the wheels.
Is he one of these robots that we were talking about?
He could be. That would explain a lot, wouldn't it? I think they clone him.
Yeah.
Because he's got so much energy. You see it from 6 in the morning, then you see him buzzing around at 6 in the evening, having only eaten a Mars bar all day. So either got to be robotic technology behind Phil Easton, or he's cloned.
Yeah, could be. You know what
so
I mean?
That's that.
He'll probably be away for the week, go to the annual, whatever it is, I look like Kenny Rogers Forum or something.
I'm so glad you said that.
He's got a job to do in Lapland, last week. So, come on.
Well, do you know, I feel quite miserable now because you two are going to be partying the night away.
Come to my party down south.
What, and then just whiz back up the M6?
Yeah.
You can't do that because if you turn up and you're not, oh, this is my friend Duncan, he's on his own.
He's got no friends.
He's got no one at New Year's Eve.
I did offer to come in and actually do a New Year's Eve show on the radio from 10. Yeah, because I've done that before and it's great fun.
Yeah.
But the boss said, no, I'd rather have you in at 9 o'clock on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
So I'll be here.
I would have thought you'd have got more interaction in the early hours, to be honest.
That's great fun.
Yeah.
It's great fun.
From all those people who hate New Year.
What would you have done on this New Year's Eve show?
I would have played Radio Scrabble.
Radio Scrabble.
I would have said, well, I've got these seven letters.
So glad I'm having a party that night.
I'm looking at a triple word score. Call now. 0151. That's what I would have done.
No longer invited to my New Year's Eve party.
Gents, have a cracking New Year. Roy, thank you for joining us for a one-off bloke talk. It's been good to have you here. We must get you back in the New Year. Toby, as ever, Happy New Year and thank you.
Happy New Year.
And indeed, to anyone who's been listening to Bloke Talk over the best part of the last year, thank you for listening. It has been Bloke Talk here at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.